Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. And Baltimore Positive, we're positively getting into a fresh week here. Happy Halloween to everybody out there celebrating. I'm wearing orange and black for the Orioles and our friends at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. I am touring their facility this week, their grow facility. So anybody interested in the cannabis space, we're doing educational series. Wendy Bronfine and her partners over Curio, a big part of that. We're also getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We got the Governor Wes Moore, got Mayor Brandon Scott putting together some dates, putting together something up at Curio with an interesting crab cake as well. So the holidays are going to be great around here, and they're certainly a lot better around here when the Baltimore Ravens are 6-2 at the turn. We used to say at the turn, there's turns halftime now of the Seattle game this week. Luke Jones joins us now. He'll be in Owings Mills all week long. They allow him in to ask questions. John Harbaugh, sort of in the post game on Sunday, was his own worst critic in saying we didn't play great, which makes it a lot easier for us to say they didn't play great. Luke, Seattle coming in this week, the home cooking ahead. The fact that the defense packs the lunch pail every week. I wrote a book about this 23 years ago when this sort of thing happened in offense. And this offense, a lot better than that offense was, a lot more weapons for sure, and an MVP caliber quarterback from a week-to-week standpoint. But the defense, if we go back and look at the sins of the Peyton Manning era Colts, they had a lot of offense. Didn't have enough defense. Defense wins championships, right? They put that on walls in places, right? I'm confident with this defense and how it's coming together. And I know we have talked about it, but just in a general sense about it's the halfway point. If we're really giving a report card out, A for the defense for the first. I give him an A.
Yeah. What do you want me to say? I totally agree. I mean, it's again, despite the final 6-7 minutes of what transpired in Arizona, and it was sloppy, and you could tell after the game, Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey, amongst others, were not really pleased with how they finished out that football game. But they've been the far more consistent side of the football, and as much as people in today's NFL will push back on the notion of defense winning championships, and I would push back on that in 2023, doesn't mean it's not still very important. And let's be clear about that, especially as we've looked at the last year or two in the NFL where defense has made a little bit of a comeback. Scoring is down the last couple of years from where it had been for quite a while. So
because teams like the Ravens are investing in Roquan Smith in the middle and on the back end and cornerbacks and how they're playing it, and whatever advantages defense might have in a game, right?
Well, I think it's much more about scheme and how teams are playing now than, you know, about specific players. I mean, there've always been talented players. The Ravens have continued to have very talented players on defense, even the years where they haven't been as great defensively. But yeah, you know, the point is it's still very important. Right. And you can go a long way with a good defense. Now, can you do it like the Ravens did in 2000? No, you know, you're not going to win a championship in the modern NFL. It's not designed to reward you with that deep of a run if that's how you're going to play. But if you have balance, if you have a defense that is opportunistic and is good in the red zone, can take the ball away, get after the quarterback, stop the run, which this Ravens defensive to a man, if they told you the thing they'd like to do a little bit better, it would be stopping the run. Not that the run defense has been bad by any stretch, but relatively speaking, it's been a relative, I don't even know if I'd say weakness, but just something that hasn't been as dominant as other areas of the game. But it's a really good defense. And I think it's a defense that still has room for growth, still has room to improve when you're talking about the fact that Adafe always played so little and has been on and off the field, even the last week or so with that ankle. And we saw it again on Sunday without David Ajabo contributing much of anything to them. You love the vets. You love what Jadeveon Clowney and Kyle Van Noy have done, and you want them to continue doing that. But you do want to add some more upside, some more depth, some more intrigue to that pass rush as the year goes on. And I think they have the potential to do that. On the back end of the defense, we're not seeing a Marlon Humphrey playing his absolute best football. I think he would agree with that at this point, as he's still coming back from the foot surgery that he had in August. But you know what he's capable of doing. And as he gets more and more comfortable, that's just going to make the secondary better. You know, you mentioned in our previous conversation about Marcus Williams, Geno Stone's leading the NFL in interceptions. You know, look, Marcus Williams has played well when he's been on the field for the Ravens. This isn't a case where he's been a disappointment when he's been out there, but he struggled to stay out there. But the good news is they really haven't experienced drop-off with the way that Geno Stone has played. So it's a defense that, you know, I haven't even mentioned Michael Pierce, who after missing most of the last three seasons because of either injury or he was one of the individuals who opted out during the COVID season when he was a Viking, but he's played really well. And Justin Madubuike has played extremely well, you know, to the point where he might be pricing himself out of Baltimore as he gets to free agency this offseason. But
that's why they're good every year, right? The Ravens are good every year because they always have a guy like that, that, like, whether it's Adelis Thomas or whether it's Matt Judon or whether it's Zadarius, you know, there's just always a guy. The offense, every year they were losing guys for $50 million on the offense, and we wonder why they couldn't run the ball sometimes. This is part and parcel of who they are. And I mean, at some point we're going to talk about trade rumors here this week and adding players, but they certainly feel like if they were to do something drastic, that this is an all-in kind of year, knowing where the cap's going with Lamar, I think, right? Like at this point this week, you don't want to see Derrick Henry running against you somehow.
Well, the Titans aren't going to be in the playoffs. So, I mean,
I mean dealing. Oh, sure. I mean dealing.
Maybe.
We talk about starting pitching maybe so much, right? And I know
running back's not the same thing as a starting pitcher.
But when they deal for a lottery pick linebacker like they did last year, hey, man, he and Lamar were rarely on the field at the same time. He's been their best football player for 52 weeks now. He is their best football player, and you'll make Lamar can be a difference maker, go in the phone booth and all that, but on a consistent week-by-week basis, bringing the wood to the defense. This defense is great because Eric DaCosta made a trade a year ago this week.
Fair enough. He's position by position their best player. Lamar is by far their most valuable player.
Their most important player. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Don't let Roquan Smith break an arm 2 weeks from now. I mean, that would be devastating, dude.
Sure. No question about it. But I guess the point I was trying to make is, you know, the defense is deep. You know, they've got some depth. I mean, they have guys that you would not have counted on or expected a year ago at this time or 2 years ago at this time that are playing at a very high level. I mean, look at the guys that are in contract years. I mentioned Madubuike. Geno Stone's going to make himself some money, whether it's the Ravens deciding they need to keep him, and maybe there's a conversation to be had about Marcus Williams at some point in the coming months, and we'll get to all that.
Kyle Hamilton's going to need to get paid for real.
Yeah. I mean, he's in a second year, but sure.
But I mean, he's playing like a guy they're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
And we've already kissed off Patrick Queen, right? Sure. He's going to be somewhere else already. We know that.
Most likely. Yeah. I mean, unless he's willing to take a more creatively structured deal that gets him back on the market in a year or two, if he wants to hang around at a cheaper rate, I don't think the door is completely closed, but yeah, if you're going to ask me to say Patrick Queen back, yes or no, I'm going to say
well,
no.
It's not at our time in the middle of the season to be talking about Stanley's restructuring or, you know, Mark Andrews giving some money back at the end of the year or like, I don't know. I mean, but they're back in Flacco land where the quarterback's making 21% of the cap and, you know, keeping these plays, you got to win now, I guess is my point.
Yeah.
We talked this all summer long with the Orioles. It's like, I don't just think the Ravens are going to be 6-2 again next year. They're pretty good this year. They can win the Super Bowl. That's for real. Now they got to keep everybody as healthy as they have them. And we're all talking about that next step, but the defense is good enough right now. I would put this defense on the field in Buffalo, in Kansas City at next week. If it's a playoff game for all the marbles and say Cincinnati, wherever we wouldn't have to play there. I don't have to lose a lot of games and they're gonna have to win a lot of games if we're going to go to Cincinnati and play in January, but defensively, this team's going to pack. I mean, it's good. I believe that despite however it went on Sunday out in Arizona, I think a healthy version and a full blossom version of this defense at Christmas time should be troublesome.
Yeah, it's why a lot of people are starting to talk about Mike McDonald being a head coach somewhere. They've played at that high of a level. And, you know, especially when you look at some of the injuries that they had early in the year and they were still playing at a high level. So I'm with you on that. And look, Can you take a defense and let that be what's driving your success in the modern NFL? And you just mentioned whether it's going to Kansas City or wherever come January. Of course, you have to have an offense that's firing in a way like the Ravens did against Detroit a week ago. But the defense is absolutely, for whatever you're looking for your defense to be in the modern NFL, the Ravens check just about every box. About the only thing you could say would be they don't have that game wrecker that wins on the edge without being schemed up, right? I mean, their pass rush has very much been the product of playing games and running stunts on the defensive line, blitzing people, sim pressures, sending four, but not knowing which four it is when you have seven guys at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, they've used a lot of creativity. And look, let's be clear, that's perfectly okay. That's not a knock. If you're asking me where they could improve, it would be acquiring that edge guy. I would say Myles Garrett. There's one Myles Garrett, but an edge guy that can win just lining up and beating the guy that he's lining up against. And yeah, they don't do a whole lot of that. And they've had to use a lot of scheme and to be creative. And it's worked because they have sacked the quarterback and, they entered the week leading the league in sacks. So, I mean, that's, it's part of what they've done. They've been very successful doing that. So yeah, you look at this defense, you got to stay healthy. That's the same for every team around the league right now. And certainly, just because you're playing at this level in week 7, 8, 9 doesn't guarantee that you're going to be playing that way in week 18 or the wild card round or the divisional round, but they're on their way. And it's a defense that has been really, really good. And it is a defense that, coupled with an offense that is playing at a high level, you absolutely feel confident about going to Kansas City, or Kansas City coming to Baltimore, or Buffalo, or whoever, Miami. Even though that Dolphins defense or that Dolphins offense is very explosive, you feel that, yeah, you're going to be able to make some stops and you're going to be able to hold those teams from going nuts. So, it's a defense that from week one, even with the injuries, has been, I don't even want to say playoff caliber. It's way better than playoff caliber. It is championship caliber.
We
So
start taking it
it's
for
definitely.
granted week to week, right? I mean, and part of this, and we talked about this in the last segment, they play a lot of backup quarterbacks. You know, they've had a chance to
Sure.
shine. They've had it. They played some offensive lines that have been sieves, that have had a lot of backup players. Turnstile stuff that Clowney, Oway, the blitz packages when Kyle Hamilton's running after the quarterback or Mullett or whatever. All that stuff has worked. Beating up Goff the way they did was really impressive to me. That's the most impressive thing they've done all year. It's the most impressive thing they were given the opportunity to do. You could only be so impressive against Josh Dobbs and against guys. I can't even remember the guy kid's name from Cleveland, honestly. Like I may never start a game again. And I found that I thought Russ Tucker did a great job. I mean, I still week after week, I want to let my audience and everybody in the community know I'm still I should have been at the game. On Sunday, watching the game on television is different, but watching the game on television is different in that when you get Ross Tucker calling the game, I thought he did a nice job. I thought trying to define the defense as what do they play, Luke? What would you call their defense?
I mean, it's very,
Hybrid, right?
it's been that way for years. I mean, the idea of if you look at their depth chart and you say, oh, it's a 3-4, it's not really a 3-4. They play, they play a lot of over. They plenty of different things they do. It's multiple and really by design. When you look, especially on the back end of their defense, they've really designed this thing to be, quote, positionless, where, okay, yeah, you do have two safeties, and yes, you have a nickel corner, and you have two corners that are playing on the outside. But part of that pre-snap disguise, and it's not just at the line of scrimmage in terms of, okay, you have six or seven guys, and you might rush four, but you don't know which four it is. And it might be a couple defensive linemen who drop into coverage.
Hey,
They
Arizona did that
also,
at the end of the game pretty well defensively. At
sure,
the end of the game.
But you also have on the back end of the defense so much disguise that goes on, and that doesn't show up on TV. But if you're watching the All 22, you'll see that, we think about it in these simplistic terms, especially if you're not someone that's a a football X's and O's junkie. And look, I'm not a big time junkie. I'm certainly not a defensive coordinator.
I wish they had an all 22 option. It's maybe at some point in life I can switch to that.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
Have you checked it out for the Amazon Thursday night game? You can actually, I forget what the setting is called. And look, my brother has a Prime subscription. That's why
so
I've
does
watched,
my
I think,
son, by the way.
I've
Yes.
watched two Thursday night games all year because I've been more invested in watching baseball, and obviously with the Orioles playing until the last 2.5, 3 weeks. But they actually have an option where you will see the all it's the sideline all 22 view. And
so it's a big field. It's a 50 yard line.
So you'll see a big field. And the other cool thing they do is I don't know if this is AI exactly, but they'll highlight guys at the line of scrimmage that based off of all this past data, they run simulations and they'll say, okay, we think this guy's blitzing. So it actually is a little bit, as much as it can be in real time, a little more of a teaching tape, so to speak, in terms of watching the game.
I thought Tucker was great at that, predicting plays. I mean, the way Romo would say they're going to run it, they're going to throw it. You know, like I like a broadcast that's smart, and they're not all smart, and they're not all engaging to me. I thought Ross did a great, and I know Ross and text him after the game, whatever. But I sit here and watch the games every week, and I have friends doing games, Kenny Albert, whoever's doing the games, that's fine. But I thought the game was well called for being a 1-6. I thought that, especially when the referee moved the ball back 18 inches, I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, that came from New York. I mean, they're trying to do more and more of the real time correcting of things to not slow the game down, because as much as everyone says, oh, we want every call right, we also don't want the games to be 4 hours, 15 minutes long. So you're trying to find the middle ground. But to go back to, just to finish the point about the defense I was making, in the back end of the defense, I mean, you have most of the time five defensive backs on the field. I mean, the Ravens under Wink Martindale pre-Roquan Smith had been very much a dime defense. And
subbing
become,
out a linebacker for a safety, essentially.
Yeah, right, exactly. To have six defensive backs, you have a nickel and you have a dime, but they've really gone away from that. From the moment that Roquan Smith arrived, they've gone back to being much more of a nickel defense. I mean, you very rarely see them play dime because they trust having Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen on the field, and that doesn't always mean they're both dropping in the coverage, but they're comfortable with that alignment, or one of those guys blitzing, or both of them blitzing. So, but with those guys in the secondary, they want guys who can do different things. That's why Kyle Hamilton, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, is such a valuable chess piece for them. And it's been a little more challenging with the injuries they've had at safety, that they haven't been able to move him around quite as much and played him at the nickel quite as much. But that's what it looks like. I mean, that's why you love someone like Marlon Humphrey, who can play on the outside or the inside. So they're going to, that's going to continue to evolve. And Mike McDonald was even asked about that this past week. I mean, they've gotten good play from Arthur Millett at the nickel spot, but is he going to just be the nickel for the rest of the season? I'm guessing probably not, because I think as they start to play some better offenses here over the second half of the season, and the schedule is going to get a little more challenging in that way. You're not going to be playing 1-7 Arizona. I mean, starting this week with Seattle, who, Geno Smith has not been as good as he was last year, but certainly a team that still has some, still has some players that you have to be mindful of, and they're able to do some different things. But then, you're going to have Cincinnati coming in a couple weeks, and Joe Burrow. I don't know if anyone, most Ravens fans didn't because they were watching the Ravens game, but that's the best Joe Burrow we've seen all year, including he was moving around. We've seen him just be a statue in the pocket, and we've seen how that really hasn't worked all that well for them, but he was moving around and he looked like the pre-calf injury Joe Burrow. So
yeah, healthy Joe Burrow at Halloween's dangerous.
I mean, look, the Ravens are, the Bengals fans are saying the same thing about the Ravens at this point in time, right? I mean, but they certainly
Well, Lamar's
are
healthy. I mean, the Ravens are healthy, and we went through that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's such a big part of this. I mean, look at what happened on Sunday. You see more quarterbacks going down. Not that the Vikings were necessarily going anywhere, but they lose Kirk Cousins to an Achilles. I mean, it completely changes your season. You go from having talks about being a playoff team or being a team that can make a run or win a Super Bowl to it feeling like preseason football. And the Ravens experienced that each of the last 2 years, you know,
Yeah,
late
I
in
would
the
think if
season.
you and I go back to our Halloween tapes from last year and the year before that, and we're talking about the Ravens, we're talking about them in this real sense. And then all of a sudden,
Yeah.
Tyler Huntley's playing 1 week, 2 weeks. Is Lamar coming back? Where's Lamar?
Yeah.
Lamar's not even on the field in Cincinnati. That was so last year. But I like, yeah, the expectations should be through the roof for this fan base.
Sure.
And I talk about this all the time with empty seats and cheap tickets. And this is a 6-2 team. People should be flocking literally to go watch this brand of football where they win a lot. And some weeks they even kick the other team's ass like they did last week.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I didn't really touch on it too much, but you made mention of the trade deadline, and obviously that's coming up, even as people are listening to our conversation right now. I mean, it's tick, tick, tick. I mean, it's right, it's here. So we're going to see if the Ravens make a move. Based on Eric DaCosta's history as Ravens general manager, probably going to see something. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be Derrick Henry. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a premier edge rusher. But, you know, there are certainly teams out there like Minnesota, like Washington, who could very much be sellers, you know, and there's been some debate about that. So we'll see how this plays out. But whether they make a big splash or whether it's a smaller move or maybe a move doesn't materialize because you can only, you know, it takes two to tango, this team's in really good position. And let's be perfectly clear about that. They should feel as good as anyone in the AFC, not named Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet. But even the Chiefs looked very mortal this past Sunday. So, hey, the Ravens wasn't perfect on Sunday. It was choppy. Certainly the last 7, 8 minutes were just weird, bizarre, but it was a win. 6-2, including a 4-1 road record. You will gladly take that as we are just about at the halfway point of this 2023 season.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. We're going to be getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week, and we're doubling up. It's going to be like a crab cake month in November. I spent the week in the South and out in Vegas. You can't get a crab cake out there, so I'm back at home. Coco's won this big competition this week, so we're going to have some fun with that with Marcella and Liz and everybody over there. I stopped out at the Carroll County Farm Museum over the weekend. Didn't have a crab cake. But I did hear a little bit of the music. So that was fun. It was a beautiful day, good weather. Now we're going to chill out. We're going to play some home football. Seattle in town this week, then Cleveland, Cincinnati on the back end. Luke's going to be on the back fields out at Owings Mills. And our Crab Cake Tour also presented by our friends at Window Nation, 866-90 Nation. You buy two, get two free. 5 years at 0% financing and Jiffy Lube MultiCare around the corner from you. Lots of things going on around here. Lots of Crab Cake Tour dates. We have a new Inner Harbor that's coming. I saw the David Bramble thing, and we're going to be inviting him on the program as well. So get back after all of it, after a couple days off around here. It's Halloween, and yeah, the Ravens are kind of scary. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.